Good morning, everybody. This is Jane Cormier, your host here on WKXL Artful Living. And we are going to have another wonderful, wonderful discussion and conversation with a young singer who participated in the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition. NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. So if you're just joining us and you haven't been able to listen for a bit, the last couple of weeks we've been spending offering young singers who participated in the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition the opportunity to come on and talk with us and share with us a little bit of their singing and a little bit of their endeavors in the opera world. And today we have Mark Martinez, who is a tenor. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Jane.
So you know what? Are you from New York?
I live in New York. I can't say that I'm from here. Not many people can't, but I've been here for a couple of years now.
I see. Yes, yes. See, I have your resume, and it says New York. So I was just wondering, you know, if you were originally from New York, but you live in New York now. And you sent in for the competition, and we have actually, after we talk a little bit, we're going to share one of your selections with our audience. But before that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm a tenor living in New York. I've been here for a couple of years, and I've been singing for not too long, actually, for compared to a lot of my peers. I started at 25, and I'm currently 32. But I, you know, I played the piano all throughout growing up, but I discovered late in life that I, you know, really enjoyed singing, that I, you know, would also you know, would love to continue with it. So I took some lessons, and then I kind of stumbled my way into opera, really.
Oh, very good. You know what's been interesting about speaking with all these singers is how many different ways people have actually come into the operatic medium. Some, you know, from like age six or something really wow. Mm-hmm. And then we have folks that emerge into the program or into opera at a later time. I don't think it really matters as long as what we offer the audience is an honest and well-trained singer, right? So, I mean, that's great. Good for you. What was your study in college?
So I studied math in college, actually. So
oh,
I studied
goodness.
Applied math, and then I went to grad school for computer science. So I never studied music in a formal setting besides lessons.
My goodness. So computer science, mathematics, and opera. I love it. That's good for you. All right. So you know what? Why don't we share with our audience one of the selections that you sent in to New Hampshire Opera Idol. And why don't you tell us a little bit about Die Spieltnis? This is the aria from The Magic Flute.
Yes. So Die Spieltnis is the most famous tenor aria from The Magic Flute. It's sung by the character Tamino, and it is more or less like his introduction to the show. And it's, there's a lot of theoretical and historical context as to why the aria is the shape that it is, but it's supposed to be, from my understanding at least, a more so it's a love song for a woman that he's never met. He's singing to a picture of this woman. And the structure of the song is such that it's more extemporaneous in a sense, because he has not yet been initiated into like the Freemason sort of like philosophy and ideology that he eventually will be initiated into in the later part of the opera.
Right.
But it's essentially a love song that's very pretty and, you know, very quintessentially Mozart.
So for those that aren't familiar so much with The Magic Flute, this is basically the song that sets up the reason that Tamino is looking for Pamina, which is the Queen of the Night, has spun a tale to Tamino that Pamina has been kidnapped by an evil fiend. And he has decided, as he's looked upon this picture, he has fallen in love with Pamina, and now he's going to be off to rescue her, so-called rescue her. So here we go. Why don't we play this little excerpt, and then we'll come back and talk with Mark.
Yeah.
Well, there it is, Dies Bildnis from The Magic Flute, Mark Martinez, tenor. So that is a tough aria to sing, not an easy sing by any stretch, so good for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you like singing Mozart?
I do. I do enjoy singing Mozart. I think it takes a very particular type of singing. It's very different from, I guess, the things that came after him, mm-hmm. Like the bel canto type of singing, which is more vocal forward. Mozart, I think, is more instrumental in a lot of ways, so you have to be mindful of that when singing his stuff.
Yeah, fluidity is everything for Mozart. And you know what? Your voice is very, your core is very nice. Your core is very rich as a tenor, which is really great to hear. So, you know what? I think that the story here really is that you don't have to be born in opera to come to love it and to become a student of it. You can come from a very different place, and here you are singing opera. And do you have stuff coming up that you are looking forward to?
I do. I have a couple of things, actually.
Great.
So I'm going to be singing with Garden State Opera in New Jersey. They're doing one of Mozart's operas, Bastien and Bastien. It's an earlier work of his,
yes.
Actually very early. he wrote it when he was 12, incidentally. Although I don't think he was performed during his lifetime, but that's coming up on May 5th.
Cute.
In New Jersey, if anyone is interested or in the area.
Uh-huh.
And I have another thing coming up. So I'm singing with Bronx Opera. They are doing Gilbert and Sullivan's Iolanthe. So I will be singing Streffen, if anyone
Wonderful.
Would like to come see that as well.
Wow, Isawi. Well, great. Well, we're going to take a little break here. And when we come up the other side, we'll talk a little bit more with Mark Martinez, a tenor in New York City. And so stay right with us. We are coming right back after the break. Welcome back. You're with Jane Cormier here on Art for Living, WKXL, New Hampshire, talkradio.com, WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, and of course, 101.9 FM in Manchester. So if you're just joining us again, we have Mark Martinez, who is a guest. He's a tenor from New York. And Mark was one of the entries into New Hampshire Opera Idol. And just before we took break, he was telling us about some performances that were coming up for him. And one of them was the opera Bastien and Bastienne by Mozart. And he was quite correct. 12 years old, Mozart wrote this little Singspiel. And it is a charming piece of music. I remember many years ago directing the piece, And the youthful charm in that little Singspiel is just from the beginning, get-go to the end. It's just charming. So what role? I assume that you're singing the Bastien role?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. And how are they performing this? Do you know how the production's going to look?
So the performance will be in a church in Passaic, New Jersey, and it's going to be with the full orchestra, actually. So it'll be a string section and then four woodwinds.
Beautiful.
So it'll be like the full Mozart sound.
Yes, excellent. Okay, so I assume it won't be fully staged. Will it be partially staged, do you think?
It will be partially staged since it's going to be in a church.
I see. And can you tell our audience a little bit of what the opera's about?
Sure. So the opera is kind of a silly little story, but it's there's these two more or less Arcadian shepherds, and they are, you know, simple, lovely people, but Bastien, the woman in this piece, is worried that her boyfriend, Bastien, which they have almost the same name, has fallen for another woman. So what happens is she speaks with the local magician, Colas, to assure that her love comes back to her. And
Right. It's
kind of a silly little story where they make up a magical spell so that they fall back in love with each other. And it's a very cute plot that just resolves very neatly at the end.
Yes, it does. It resolves very neatly at the end. You're right. So, you know, it's kind of amazing, isn't it, that we had that kind of music being written by a 12-year-old. I mean, it still blows my mind.
It's absolutely amazing. what's really amazing, too, is, like, you can hear the echoes of, like, what will come. But, like, for instance, for some of the music that the tenor has, you can definitely see, you can hear a little bit of Don Ottavio that will eventually come out of that. And, you know, it's really amazing that even from that young of an age, he had such a particular style.
Isn't that crazy, huh? Yeah, he probably did know where he was going, but just needed a few years to get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, very
definitely.
Wonderful. A wonderful piece. And so, also, you're going to be doing, you said a second piece, but I didn't quite hear what that was. So, what was the other piece?
So, that is Gilbert and Sullivan's Iolanthe.
Oh, yes.
So, that's one of their, I guess, one of their 13 Savoy operas. And it is not one of the most popular ones, but it's one of the most popular with diehard GNS fans.
Yes.
Are you familiar with this opera?
You know what? I know it's one of the top, I would say the top five of GNS, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's a really funny production. If you have the chance, I think it'd be worth it to come see it.
Ah.
But the premise is essentially, it's a critique on the upper class, more specifically the House of Peers, and that Gilbert, the librettist, thought they weren't particularly useful. And it's kind of a funny story of how they hold a lot of power, yet they aren't particularly intelligent people.
I see. Well, I know it's the fairy, right, has been banished?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's correct.
She's married a mortal.
Yes, that's correct. So, and, like, the romantic plot is... Strephon, who is half a fairy, is in love with a normal woman, but is barred from marrying her because of political shenanigans. But the upper level of the plot is the main villain, actually, is his father, who married a fairy. And, you know, there's this very entangled love, I guess, rectangle in event going on.
What a surprise. I love it.
Yes, very typical. Very typical for GNS. There's always a secret parent or something.
Yes, yes. That's great. So tell me, what does Mark Martinez see coming down the pike for his operatic, career going forward?
So I'd like to just continue singing. I've been fairly busy when it comes to singing in New York and the surrounding area. I'd love to, do even more roles and expand even further, if possible, to different geographies. But I'm really just taking things as they come and just improving my technique and my stage presence as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Who is your teacher in New York? Can you share that with us?
Of course. So my teacher is Elizabeth Blankbig. She's a wonderful dramatic soprano. She's performed at the Met as Violetta, actually, a while back.
Wow.
And she's currently in, I have to get this right, she's in Texas right now singing Brunhilde.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's a very wonderful teacher and also a wonderful technician.
Yes.
So I can't recommend her anymore.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so what does your day in, do you work, Mark, in New York?
Yes. So my day-to-day is actually more, so I sing more in the evenings, but
yeah.
I work as a computer scientist or a data scientist.
Wow.
So I work for a company that's a pharmaceutical company, but I help develop algorithms that are used in finding cancer drugs and other types of things like that. So it's a really fulfilling type of job.
Absolutely. Wow, that's great. I mean, it really does fit, you know, the day job that you're doing. Doesn't sound like it's going to be too taxing vocally, right? And
yes,
singers have to be aware of that. People don't stop to think about that. But when you're serious about your voice and it's what you're going to make your livelihood off of, you have to be really careful what jobs you take, because if you want to practice, if you want to perform, you can't be, you know, using that voice to the point where you're not able to be the best you can be when you sing. So
that's
think
very true.
That's really excellent. You have a great job doing a great thing, you know, and it's probably not as taxing as it might be vocally and allows you to go out and sing.
Oh, definitely. 100%.
Good for you. So 5 years, 10 years down the road, what? Give me a bird's eye view. Where do you want to be?
Oh, I mean, let's see. I mean, 5 years, 10 years, ideally, I'd love to sing at the Met, but, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, it's I want to continue to develop as a singer and sing at larger houses.
Yes.
I want to, really, that's kind of what I want to do. I just want to sing at larger houses and mm-hmm. have, you know, be able to just do a lot of roles that I find very enjoying and, you know, can share the wonders in wonderful music with people.
You certainly have a wonderful voice. You're a tenor, which never hurts. How about Europe?
Very
have you
true.
Thought about going to Europe?
I haven't thought about it too concretely, actually. I personally haven't looked at it that much. I do know a good number of people go to Germany to do, like, I guess, like the Festspiel
yes.
Type of circuit. But I haven't really done too much research.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Just something to think about, maybe, because the wonderful thing for young singers, and you would still be considered a young singer here and in Europe as a tenor, and the one wonderful thing is it offers the young singer an opportunity in a long-term contract to sing multiple roles. Because when they cast you, they don't cast you for one role. They cast with the idea, oh, well, you know, so-and-so could sing this, 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 and this over the next, you know, year or two. So it does offer the young singer the ability to go to one place, live in one place, really get good with the language, which is always a plus, and, you know, and then sing in repertory on the stage. And so that's historically, that's always been something that many singers have looked at as a possibility to sort of get more experience under their belt. But there's many ways to do it, and you're certainly going one way, and it's been successful for you. So that's, you know, good to you.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'll definitely look into the more European route as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. They have generally, you know, it's been a while since I've actually been in that kind of, you know, world. But usually it's in the fall that the agents will have auditions, because you can't audition for a house in Europe. You have to audition for the agents who will then get the audition for the house. So the big thing is the agent auditions. That's the real thing that is the, it gets your foot in the door. Once you have the agent, you almost certainly will find a job, especially as a tenor. I think, anyway.
I see. Okay. I'll definitely look into this more. Thank you so much, Jane.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, here we have free advice right on WKXL. I mean, but far be it for me to tell anyone how to do anything. You're doing a great job all on your own. So we have some bump music here. Mark Martinez, tenor from New York City. Thank you so much for sharing your world with us here at WKXL. And thank you for being part of New Hampshire Opera Idol. It was wonderful talking with you.
It was wonderful talking with you, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, you have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a little break here at WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, and we'll come back with another singer after this break. All righty, we are back. WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. If you're just joining us, we have Naren Ren, who is with us as a contestant in the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition. And we're talking with singers these past couple of weeks to get to know them a little bit and hear a little bit of what it's like trying to come into the emerging opera field. And Naren, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jane. Such a pleasure.
Oh, we're going to have a great chat. So listen, Naren, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to actually play one of your selections that you offered for the competition. But let us know, what's Naren all about?
Oh, great. So I am ethnic Mongolian, so that's why my name is so long. And people just remember that with a long name and with a short last name, and that's me. And I'm mezzo-soprano. Yeah, so unlike most other, you know, opera singers, I actually started the profession really late in life. I'd like to say in the middle of my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I completed my PhD at Brown University studying cognitive science.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah, it's a little different. And then I completed a postdoc fellow in psychology at the University of Toronto. So along the journey, actually, I have never given up singing.
Good.
The reason why I didn't start immediately to make opera as my profession is due to the family history. So almost everyone in my family are singers or musicians.
Wow.
So they know that how challenging this profession is. Of course, some of my far relatives are currently singing in the Met with a name known to everyone. And so given how much they have experienced, I happen to be the kid in the family whose academic achievement was a little higher than the other cousins.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bless, and while it is a curse. So I wanted, I wanted to do music wildly, but everyone said, since you have the condition to move on to lead a little, more normal life, and while this is a very challenging field, why don't you just, pursue your scientific passion?
Right.
So I did that until. I did it really well until I finished my PhD. I was since the family's expectation is achieved, what is the next? I always felt that there's something empty, something need to be more fulfilled as
mm-hmm.
a person,
mm-hmm.
Which is, of course, classical music. I knew that. So actually, during my PhD studies, I secretly took voice lessons with teachers in Boston.
Wow,
as well as, and I started the journey of Western classical music training, and many times, for every time when I run into a teacher, it is almost that they're doomed to duty to persuade me to quit science, because once they heard this voice, they were you're too, it's a waste of time if you're not coming to this field to sing opera seriously. And I didn't believe that until back in 2018, I got a job in Germany, which is across the street. I lived across the street of, UDK, University der Kunst in Berlin.
Mm.
And I ran into so many amazing, talented young artists at that time. Of course, now they're all the pillars of different houses in Europe. Some of them are really well known now in Vienna Stadt Opera, all of them said, oh, you have a good voice, you need to join us.
Sure.
And then I became more serious about opera, and in the end I think I thank the pandemic, because during that time I really couldn't stay in the lab and conduct experiments.
Right.
So I was thinking, like, well, I'm completing some of the scientific journal papers I was still publishing at that time. Uh-huh. And then what else can I do? So, of course, classical music. So I started to pursue a degree at New England Conservatory, which is a professional performance certificate. So, and that's where I started.
Yeah, my goodness, that's a big, that is a big journey. And you know what? It takes a lot of courage to do that, especially since, you know, perhaps the scenario was that you were more gifted in another area, perhaps. But you know what? When you're moved to perform, that doesn't go away. It stays with you. And so you probably did the right thing to listen to that voice.
I think, yes, I've learned so much through this journey, yes.
So, Noreen, are you a, you said you're a mezzo. Did you always, did you start out as a mezzo or did you become a mezzo in your training?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. I started actually as a soprano. So when I started my serious, like, voice training back then, my teacher, Taylor Stilson, always gave me really, like, high coloratura stuff. Semele, for example, Goodbye Handel. And he believed that I can be trained as a soprano.
Huh.
But later, you know, my teacher at New England Conservatory also believed that I was a soprano. So I started to be a lyric soprano and a son, like a Pour de Amour, Mozart, like,
yes.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then later, I ran into different coaches and teachers. They hear, like, this kind of, like, a chiaroscuro balance.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said there's something in my voice that's really rare because my range just spans, like, really a broad, or a very small, broad voice range.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, why don't you take advantage of that? And so then I became a more mezzo-like singer. I think until recently that my chest voice has been fully developed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe that I can work as a mezzo. So basically, it's a very, like many mezzos, finding my own Fach is a little challenging because especially for singers who started a little late. So in the end, it became a choice.
Sure.
Like, you know, what you like in terms of the Fach, and most importantly, what you're going to hire to be. And, of course, I can sing. I do have the voice for the mezzo roles. So it's still, at this time, I'm still debating with my teacher about, like, what kind of mezzo I'm going to be.
Uh-huh.
A mezzo soprano who's going to sing lots of, for example, Rossini, because my voice happens to run really quickly that my pianist cannot catch me. So that's a good thing. Yeah, so like sometimes when it runs, like, you know, una voce poco fa,
mm-hmm.
it's like a really fun thing to do. So I do Rossini.
Sure.
On the other hand, I can do more like the pieces that one of the pieces I submitted, like the Connais-tu le pays, the Mignon one.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I received a like Opera Nova's invitation. They have like this event called Rebirth. So I sing Monke's Souverata Voix from Samson and Dalila. So that's another, really heavy and really mezzo-y.
Very much
So, yes, I'm a mezzo, but I started as a soprano. That's another journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like it was another journey. That's the way it happens, right? So,
yeah.
You know what? I think that what we're going to do is, in a minute or so, we're going to have to take another break. So what we'll do is, when you come back after the next break, we'll sort of set up your aria, okay, from the Mignon.
Okay.
And then we'll play that out for in the segment, and folks can listen to that performance, and that'll be great. So what do you have coming up quickly? What do you have coming up, Noreen, in the near future?
So quite a lot of things. So this, I got lots of auditions coming up. This Saturday, the Lighthouse Opera in New York, and then the next week, Houston Grand Opera.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be the first time of my life that I'm going to the South.
Wow.
And I'm very excited about that. So for the Lighthouse Opera, it's Carmen. So I may be casted for Carmen, or I may be casted for Mercedes, depending on how they recognize my voice. You know, for if it's more for the Mignon side, then I'm Carmen. Mm-hmm. It's more if it's for the other side, like if my voice, they like the running side of my voice, then it's like the Mercedes. I'm happy for both.
Sure.
And the Houston Opera is this a program that I'm going to be singing. It's in English. So I will be singing lots of things in English, which is super
Wonderful.
Challenging.
That's yeah. good, though. That's good. All right. We have some music here, meaning that we have a little bump. We're going to do our advertisements here. So everybody, you stay right where you are. When we come up on the other side, we're going to hear Naren, and she's going to perform for us. So stay right where you are, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone out there, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, WKXL, WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. We are continuing our programming to highlight opera singers that have participated in the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition. And if you are just joining us, we were speaking with Naren Ren. And she is a mezzo, and I assume from Cambridge, Massachusetts. And Naren, you're going to set up for us one of the selections that you chose for the competition. It's an aria from the opera Mignon. Could you tell us a little bit, very quickly, what's it about?
So this opera is, basically for this aria, is that Mignon is a girl. She is from Sicily, Italy, but she... got married in France. Basically, what's being sung in this aria is homesick. It's like, you know, the reason why I wanted to set up this is like, they, you know, for opera singers, we travel a lot and we basically lead a very nomad-like life. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah, and so I want to showcase this sincere and profound emotion about how one misses their own home, because nowadays, like, rarely do anyone live there in their, like, the where they were born. So that's like the really the connection between the opera and the audience. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Let's play this aria, and we'll come back and talk a little bit on the other side. Thank you. Right. That was beautiful. Such a beautiful song. You know, it has such a vibrant color to it. Very pretty. So tell us, Naren. Uh-huh. Naren Ren is a mezzo-soprano from Cambridge, Mass. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what's coming up in the summer? I see on your resume you have some things coming up.
Oh, great. So, yeah, in the summer, I'm currently actually, in addition to performing on the opera stage, I have been engaged in this kind of like a concert tour around the world in collaboration with many great musicians. One of them is Wutar Artin. He was recently named as one of the most amazing global world music composers. Mm-hmm. So basically what we are doing is that we're singing concerts to preserve and document art songs along the Silk Road. So basically the Silk Road means that in the ancient time, you know, when Marco Polo back in the 13th century, traveled from Venice all the way to my hometown, to Italy. At that time, it was like really fantastic event because like international trading mm-hmm. wasn't very popular yet, and they could do that. So given that currently, you know, in the world, due to like local wars and conflicts, like the Silk Road music has been somehow destroyed, and I feel like for someone who are from that area, including myself as well as Wutar and many other musicians from Turkey and you know, Kazakhstan, mm-hmm. as well as countries along the road, it is our mission to reserve and to preserve these music to so that in the future, you know, future generations can still perform and enjoy them. And then most importantly, this is like a shared human cultural tradition. And most importantly, we would like to make the Western audience to understand more about the connected culture along this ancient trade path. So especially in America, I like to be, as an artist, we would like to be the ambassadors of cultural
sure.
exchanges. So that's why,
stuff.
Yeah. So
awesome.
One of them will be in Boston, and the other one
right.
will be Sicily, Ragusa, and I may have a few others setting up. It's
right.
still on the schedule,
Right. Yeah. Let me stop you. So on June 8th, we'll be at the New England Conservatory. This is the
yeah.
Romance on the Silk Road, and then
yes.
you're on tour in July. But Naren, it's been wonderful speaking with you. We have to end here. But we wish you all the best in your future endeavors. You have a beautiful voice. And thank you again for sharing your time with New Hampshire Talk Radio.